Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. For those of you who are new to our show, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Edison High School in New Jersey in 1981. I was a district wrestling champion there and still hold the school record for the fastest pin, which is 8 seconds. I went on to Rutgers University, where I continued to wrestle. I graduated there in 1985, and I was also a teaching assistant. I went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa. I graduated there in 1991, and I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list. But I always say I came back from Palmer with something more important. That's where I met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto, and together, we're the owners of Mifflintown Family Chiropractic. We've been there for 19 years, and in that time, we have successfully treated over 5,000 patients. And I'd like to just take a minute to thank everyone who has sent me cards and emails and sent in questions about our previous shows. And just know that that really helps me pick a topic for the upcoming show. If you have missed any of our previous shows, just know you can go to our website. It's www.mifflintownchiro, and Chiro is chiro.com. And if you click on Wellness Library, the first thing on the drop-down menu will be Dr. Mark's radio shows, and you'll see all our archive shows there. You can listen to them right through your computer. You can download them to a CD and listen to them in your car, or even put them on your MP3 player and listen to me while you're working out. You can also take time and sign up for our free email newsletter, again, right at the website, mifflintownchiro.com, and you click on newsletter and follow the procedures to subscribe. I want you to know I have a special offer at the end of the show as a gift just for taking the time to listen to me today. Today, I want to talk about the number one reason people get sick on this planet. As a country, we spend billions of dollars every year to treat sickness and disease. We develop more powerful medications and drugs. But in my opinion, we fall way short of truly preventing disease. Our country ranks 37th out of the top 40 countries for overall health in the world. We have more cancer, MS, Parkinson's, diabetes, Alzheimer's. So where are all the breakthroughs? I contend we don't have the best health care in the world, but we do have the most expensive health care. Most people don't realize that properly prescribed medications kill 106,000 people per year. To put that in perspective, that's in the top five killers in the U.S., right up there with cancer and heart disease. And if you include medical errors, medicine is the leading cause of death in the U.S. We are following the definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. So what is the number one reason people get sick on this planet? It's stress. See, stress can cause a headache. Stress can cause high blood pressure. Stress can cause people to get sick more often. Stress can even lead to cancer. Simply, stress kills. Everyone has stress, but it's how you deal with it that determines your health. There are many forms of stress, but today we will learn about the four stressors which cause you to get sick. First, you must understand that for our body to get sick, it must be affected by a stressor which causes it to react. Let's start with physical stress. This is the one I personally deal with most often. Someone lifts too much, sits too long, swings a golf club without stretching. Most physical stress occurs with microtrauma, basically small things that add up. In other words, it's not the first time you bend down to pick up the grocery bag, but rather the 1,000th time. Most people who come into my office will always say, "I did not do anything, Doc." What they're saying is they did not do anything different. They literally just bent down to tie their shoe, and now they can't move without excruciating back pain. Or they were blow-drying their hair and now can't turn their head. Obviously, tying their shoes and blow-drying their hair had nothing to do with it. Picture hundreds of little cracks, which finally lead to one big crack. Think of a car out of alignment, but you keep driving it. What happens to the tires? That's right, they wear uneven, which eventually leads to a blowout. When I was growing up, we played a game, putting straws in the sacks on a camel's back. You could take turns putting these straws, which virtually weighed nothing, in these sacks. But over time, the camel's back would start to bow and eventually break from the accumulative stress and weight of these straws. Of course, whoever put the last straw in was out of the game. Sometimes physical stress is sneaky. I think of truck drivers who are in the worst stressed physical position you can be in all day. Let me explain how pressure works in your back. You know, when you lay flat, there's only 25 pounds of pressure on your low back discs. When you stand up, there's about 100 pounds of pressure. But when you sit, there is over 200 pounds of pressure on your low back discs. Now, you add in poor posture while you're driving, the vibration of the road, which works almost like a mini jackhammer on your spine, and you're just looking for trouble. I have yet to find a truck driver without degenerative disc disease who has driven at least 5 years. Physical stress leads to breakdown in the body. And if you are breaking down faster than your body can repair, you're in trouble. Let's now move to the second form of stress. That is mental or emotional stress. This can show up in so many ways, whether it's from the loss of a loved one, like a parent, friend, child, or spouse. How many of you can think of someone who passed away shortly after the death of their longtime spouse, only to find the cause of death was a broken heart? In other words, stress. Emotional stress can be caused by money issues, relationship problems, work issues, personal concerns. We are all under stress, some more than others, but it's how we deal with it that makes all the difference. How many of you have heard of someone who develops high blood pressure, headaches, chronic tiredness, acne, heart disease, etc.? See, stress contributes to or worsens just about every disease known to man. It weakens your immune system, which affects you and gets you sick more often. I have personally witnessed someone having a so-called nervous breakdown from stress. When I went to visit her, it was an incredibly sad sight. She lay there in bed, uncontrollably crying, and she didn't even know why. She barely had the strength to get out of bed due to physical exhaustion. She would not eat and could barely talk. Her story ended up happy, and with God's help, she made a full recovery. But how many are not so lucky and end up in a permanent depression and dependent on medication to function. Even kids today are being diagnosed with stress-related disorders. They're being treated for depression, and they are only 10 years old. Maybe they get picked on because they are overweight or not as athletic as the other kids. Maybe they feel the worries of their parents' financial problems. Or maybe they witness their parents constantly fighting. There are so many reasons they feel stress, but we are using powerful pills to control their behavior. Let's now turn to the third form of stress, and that's chemical stress. This is one that I feel is the most overlooked. This would constitute any toxin we put in the body intentionally or unintentionally. I look at our food source with a huge amount of sugar in it. I look at the bulk of food that we eat as being processed. I think of the chemicals used to treat our food, the amount of steroids, dyes, and hormones that could be found in our food. I recently read an article in Prevention Magazine, which states soda is now being linked not only to weight gain, but there is mounting evidence that our national obsession with liquid candy affects more than just our figures. From the very first sip, experts say cola starts to wreak havoc on the body. It corrodes the teeth. It confuses the appetite-regulating hormones in the digestive tract. It attacks your bones, which means it leads to osteoporosis, and it encourages the organ breakdown that leads to diabetes. Just think how many sodas the average adult and child drinks every year. Let me tell you about my own kids. Michaela and Matthew are now 13 and 15 years old, but they have never drank soda. And when they were about 5 and 7, we were at a picnic. And while we were at the picnic, all these kids were running around drinking soda. So my kids came over and they said, "Hey, Dad, can we try the soda?" And I knew eventually they would, so I thought, sure, this would be a great opportunity to at least let them sample what all these kids were drinking. So they went out and picked a can, and they came back. And you got to think, at this age, they were excited. All these kids had been telling them how good it is, and it's like candy. And anyway, so I fill their cups, and it's fizzing in their cups, you know, that little bubble, right? So they both simultaneously pick up the cup, take a drink, and they both spit it out. It tasted terrible to them. And you're thinking, how can that be? Soda's great, right? Well, what happens is we start our kids on it so young, they acquire a taste for it. I think of an alcoholic who drinks scotch. And if you or me drank a glass of scotch, it would taste like gasoline or turpentine. Yet for the alcoholic, it's heaven. See, and it's not bad enough of what is being put in our food, but what also makes a difference is how we prepare our food. For example, we know acrylamide causes cancer in lab mice and rats. What people don't know is how it turns up in all kinds of tasty foods, including French fries, potato chips, breakfast cereals, cookies and crackers. Nobody puts acrylamide in food. The chemical is a natural byproduct of cooking starchy foods at high temperature. And see, in my opinion, it is these type of micro amounts of chemical toxins which contribute to an avalanche of disease. I did not even mention the water we drink and the air we breathe, but I hope you get the point. Let me give you an example on how backward we look at disease in this country. Imagine if 15 whales rolled up on the beach and they were all dead. CNN would probably be there taping this, right? We would all be on our TV watching this, mesmerized on what happened to these 15 whales. So after we dissect them and try to figure out what happened, we come to the conclusion they all had cancer. But what was different was one had cancer on the tongue. One had it on the eye. One had it in the brain. Another one had it on the dorsal fin. Basically, they all had it on a different part of the body. Now think about this. As a biologist, would we say, let's figure out a vaccine to give all the healthy whales so they don't get it? That would be ridiculous, right? But that's what we're doing in this country. What we should be asking is, what's in their food? What's in their water? What environmentally has changed? What stressors have changed to cause this disease to show up in these healthy whales? That's why it's so difficult to deal with cancer, because we're treating the disease after it shows up. I don't think there's enough money on the planet to figure out how to prevent it from getting there. You know, we have to start with trying to figure out how we can help them before it gets in the body. Let's move to the fourth type of stress. That's thermal stress. That is the effect of temperature change on the body. You may notice more people get sick in the winter because of the cold weather. Generally, that's what lowers the body's immune system and the immune response. It can slow your body functions. For example, let's use frostbite. If you're under extreme cold temperatures, the body, in trying to protect itself, will put all the heat in the most important area of your body, which would be like your chest cavity, protect your heart, your lungs, and your liver. Also, try to protect in your head. You'll often see steam if you watch football games coming off players' heads because the heat is being contracted there. But that doesn't prove very well for the things furthest away from the body. So what do you end up getting frostbite in? That's right, the fingers and maybe the big toe. So, you know, it's a good day for the organs, but it's a bad day for the big toe. But that's your body's response to cold or thermal stress. Think of the Titanic. All the people who went overboard, they didn't just die from drowning. Most of them died from hypothermia, from the cold water. That is thermal stress. So now that we uncovered the four types of stress, what can we do to protect ourselves from them? First, just being aware of the four types puts you light years ahead of the average person who does not. Let's start with thermal stress. Just like my old high school wrestling coach used to say, use the KISS technique. And KISS is an acronym for keep it simple. Don't complicate things. Dress appropriately, particularly in winter. Wear layers. Put on a hat, gloves, socks. If doing an outdoor activity like hunting or me and my son like to do snowboarding, wear a first layer made of moisture-wicking material. I do not recommend cotton because it will hold the moisture against your body. Keep a close look at your children, that they are dressed appropriately. I can't tell you how many times I drive by a bus stop when it's freezing out and kids are standing there with a sweatshirt, no hat. Of course, they might think that would mess up their hair. Yeah, you might want to try and get them maybe a cool headband with their favorite sports team or something on it. When dealing with chemical stress, again, use the KISS technique. Keep it simple. If God made it, eat it. If man made it, run away. Stay away from processed foods. Buy organic when possible. Read your labels. Stay away from soda, especially diet with those fake sweeteners in it. Drink a good source of filtered water. We can't avoid every toxin, but the less you put in your body, the healthier you will be. When trying to cope with emotional or mental stress, find a way to relieve stress with activities like exercise, meditation, and prayer. Just know, if you have never tried meditation, you will love it. Think of praying as talking to God, but think of meditation as listening to God. I just read a small but powerful book called How to Let God Solve Your Problems. It was written by Charles F. Stanley, and he talks about a scripture that God used as an anchor for his heart during times of adversity. I would like to share that with you. And it goes like this. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectations is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. For every problem you will ever have, there is an answer in the Bible. I can't think of a more stressful life than that of a soldier. And a friend recently sent me this story of a soldier. It was quiet that day. The guns and mortars, landmines, for some reason, hadn't been heard. The young soldier knew it was Sunday, the holiest day of the week. As he was sitting there, he got out an old deck of cards and laid them out across his bunk. Just then, an army sergeant came in and said, "Why aren't you with the rest of the platoon?" The soldier replied, "I thought I would stay behind and spend some time with the Lord." The sergeant said, "Looks to me like you're going to play cards." The soldier said, "No, sir. You see, since we are not allowed to have Bibles or other spiritual books in this country, I've decided to talk to the Lord by studying this deck of cards." The sergeant asked in disbelief, "How will you do that?" "You see, the ace, sergeant, it reminds me that there is only one God. The two represents the two parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament. The three represents the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The four stands for the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five is for the five virgins. There were 10, but only five of them were glorified. The six is for the 6 days it took God to create the heavens and earth. The seven is for the day God rested after making his creation. The eight is for the family of Noah and his wife, their three sons and their wives, the eight people God spared from the flood that destroyed the earth. The nine is for the lepers that Jesus cleansed of leprosy. He cleansed 10, but 9 never thanked him. The 10 represents the 10 commandments that God handed down to Moses on tablets made of stone. The jack is a reminder of Satan, one of God's first angels, but he got kicked out of heaven for his sly and wicked ways and is now the joker of eternal hell. The queen stands for the Virgin Mary. The king stands for Jesus, for he is the king of all kings. When I count the dots on all the cards, I come up with 365 total, one for every day of the year. There are a total of 52 cards in a deck. Each is a week, 52 weeks in a year. The four suits represent the four seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. Each suit has 13 cards. There are exactly 13 weeks and a quarter. So when I want to talk to God and thank Him, I just pull out this old deck of cards, and they remind me of all that I have to be thankful for. The sergeant just stood there. After a minute, with tears in his eyes and pain in his heart, he said, "Soldier, can I borrow that deck of cards?" I would ask to you, please let this be a reminder, and take time to pray for all our soldiers who are being sent away, putting their lives on the line, fighting for us. If a soldier can find stress relief with an old deck of cards, you should have no problem. When trying to deal with physical stress, it starts with being aware of your body. Before beginning any physical activity, start with a nice stretch. Think of any animal you see, from a lion in the wild to your dog or cat. What's the first thing they do when they get up? That's right, they stretch. How many animals have you seen pull a muscle while running? Not many. Stretching is critical to warm up your muscles and start pumping synovial fluid, which is your body's lubricant, into your joints. Next, use proper mechanics when lifting. Whether it be a small child or a piece of wood, remember to bend at the knees and use your legs. Your legs are the strongest muscles you have. If something is too heavy, wait for help. Don't be a hero and end up hurting yourself just because you're too impatient. Make sure if your job or task includes repetitious activity, you take lots of breaks. The same thing goes with long car rides or sitting too long. You just need to take a small break for a few minutes to take that pressure off your spine. Remember, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Exercise regularly so your muscles do not become weak and deconditioned. Watch your weight. For every pound you're overweight, you are adding 7 pounds of stress on your back. Just being 20 pounds overweight can add 140 pounds of stress to your back, making you vulnerable to injury. And most important, have your spine professionally checked by a chiropractor. Because just like riding your car out of alignment will wear the tread unevenly off your tires, if your spine is out of alignment, it will lead to osteoarthritis, degenerative disc disease, and nerve stress. In fact, most of the unwanted conditions people suffer from every day are directly related to nerve stress. Don't wait until you have pain to go to the chiropractor. Maintenance care is more important than acute care. In other words, isn't it smarter to change the oil in the car regularly to prevent engine wear, or should you wait until the engine blows up and then change it? So, as I promised, I have a special offer for all of you who took the time to listen to me today. We have opened up 5 new patient appointments in our office. So if you are one of the first 5 who call today, you will receive a comprehensive chiropractic examination, any necessary x-rays, a thermography scan, range of motion study, and posture evaluation for just $27. That would normally cost $160. So call 436-9017. That's 436-9017. This might just be the most important checkup you have ever had. So until next time, live with passion, and I'll be with you again in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.